Welcome to the Carlo and Lade Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, Sean, I've always wondered, why do people climb Mount Everest?
Because it's there.
Why do people run marathons?
Challenge.
Why do some people have to cross the Simpson Desert?
Life goals.
Well, congratulations, mate. You've done it finally.
Well, I did cross the Simpson. I did it in a car, which is, you know, not that hard. In fact, interesting. There were people who have done it on push bikes, and they people who have run across the Simpson Desert too. So when we got to Mount Deer, up on there, in the Mount Deer Hotel, up on their wall, they have all these T-shirts and stuff. And one was, I thought, oh my God, someone ran across. Men and women ran across the Simpson Desert. Well, that would be hard work. And other people have ridden push bikes across there, which would be equally hard work. So driving a four-wheel drive is pretty, yeah, it's pretty easy.
Yeah, still it's an achievement there. Just for my sake and any listeners that don't know, where's the start, the finish, how far is it?
Well, the Simpson Desert, there's multiple tracks you can do out there. We sort of did the most common route across the desert. Now, most people will go from west to east, so they'll start over at a place called Dalhousie Springs, which is it's a hot artesian basin. Water comes up into this area, and it's warm. It's like 38 degrees. You can get out there and have a swim, which we did. But we were going the other way. We went from Birdsville, which is the normal where people would normally finish up. We started at Birdsville, which is on the Queensland-SA border. And we went across to Dalhousie Springs. And so there's a number of tracks that were opened up many years ago because of, like, looking for oil and so on, mining and stuff. The French Line was a track that was built by French Petroleum. And there's a QAA line, which is the one that goes from Birdsville. It gets to Popel's Corner. Have you heard of Popel's Corner?
I've heard of it, but I couldn't
sort of place it. Popel's Corner is the spot where Northern Territory, Queensland, and South Australian borders meet.
Yeah.
And you can stand in all three states at that point. So that's a really fun place. There was a lot of people at that point. Obviously, people pull up there and get their photos, which we were no different. So at Popel's Corner, there's a couple of different ways you can go. The French line is the most direct track across the desert, which we took to Dalhousie Springs.
Now, just tell us, how far and how long did it take?
Well, it's about 500 odd Ks. There's 1,100 sand dunes that you have to cross. And some of them are very big. So I thought I lost count after about five. But it's about 500 Ks. We took 4 days. So our first day, we left a little bit late. One of the people in our party, they had a bit of a car problem on the Birdsville track, and so they had to get some repairs in Birdsville. And so by the time they got all that done, we left the first day about 2 in the afternoon, which is we would have normally left by 9. So we sort of were a little bit behind all the time, but we'd planned 4 days of travel and 4 days of camping in the desert.
And what was the temperature like, and were there winds?
Weather was beautiful. No, yeah. In fact, the weather was just spectacular. Like, you're talking about 15, 16 degrees during the day and just blue skies. And the thing I love about, and I think a lot of people do about the outback, is just how big the sky is. You know, you've been up north recently, and you know what I'm talking about. When you're out there, like Flinders, up at Arkaroola, and you're just driving on, and it's just, the sky is massive, isn't it?
Well, yeah, you see the Milky Way. And the thing is, to be completely honest, I went there, well, I was there recently, but a couple of years ago I went to Alice Springs with Sonny Moy when we were doing his book, and he took us out and we saw the Milky Way. And I looked at it in wonder. Obviously, you've seen it in photos and stuff, but I have not really seen the Milky Way per se since I was a kid.
Well, during the day is beautiful. And I love this. The thing I loved about Simpson Desert was that you've got this really red sand, this vivid blue sky, and people think the desert is just sand, but it's not. There is a lot of plant life, and we were probably lucky because there'd been a bit of rain previously, and so it was quite green. And so you'd come over a big sand dune and into a swale, which is like the gap between, and you think, oh my God, it's beautiful. You get this mix of blue and red and green. And at night, you know, I did my astronomy course when I was at uni, and you sort of went out there in, we were at Underdale campus down there, and you go out and look at the night sky. But out there, trying to pick constellations is almost impossible because you look up there and you go, oh my God, there's so many stars. That you just don't see. It is. It's spectacular. And so just sitting at night with a campfire and just sitting back and looking up at the night sky was fabulous.
And what about plant life other than the grass? Did you see many sturt desert peas?
Well, not in the desert, but we did see on the way up and the way back on the track, and we'll get to on the way back. I didn't quite come back under my own steam, which was a problem, but there were some at Birdsville, and there the red is so vivid, isn't it?
Yeah.
Especially out there because, like, a lot of sort of brown and green sort of plants, the grasses and shrubs and so on, and then all of a sudden you just see this flash of red as you're driving along, and then it just grabs your attention. And on the road to Undadatta from Mount Dare, there was a lot on the side of the road, some really big masses of them, and so you could sort of see them coming. And yeah, beautiful plant. No wonder it's our state emblem, our plant emblem.
It is. It's a wonderful plant. It's my favourite plant.
Yeah, and it's something, isn't it, that you – isn't it exciting when you see them for the first time?
Yeah,
it which is. For me was only last year.
Well, it was this year for me to see it live. Yeah. I mean, in the wild. I mean, I've seen it at Botanic Gardens, actually in London. I've seen it in London.
Wow. Okay.
And at Port Augusta in the Botanic our Botanic Park they got there. But, you know, to see it in the wild, it was special.
It is. And, like, something I've waited 50 years – and you're like 75 years you waited. But, you know, it's spectacular when you see it. So, yeah, there was. And, again, if you get at the right time when there's been rains, then you get to see all the wildflowers and things like sturt desert peas.
I wasn't going to give any legs to that little bit of humour of yours. But now I'm interested in a couple of things. Before we talk about the possibility of having races over there, wildlife, obviously you would have seen lots of tracks for camels and dingoes and stuff. Did you see much wildlife?
No. It was something we commented on. Like, I rode my motorbike up the Birdsville track a few years back, and there were a lot of, like, not so much. Again, the further north I went, the sort of less wildlife I saw. Like, on some of the dirt roads in through the Flinders and around that area, there were emus and kangaroos galore. I was riding along with big flocks of emus, which can be quite disconcerting. But through the desert, we saw a lot of these tiny little dragons that Sharon took a beautiful photo, the painted dragon.
Yep.
Oh, my God, the colours are just spectacular. And you can actually see, like, their body looks like it's been Aboriginal painting. It's spectacular. It's fun. You know, you think, wow, these things. Anyway, so saw a few birds, different, not really the big wedge-tailed eagles, but different hawks and kites, I assume. But no, I was hanging out to see dingoes. I really wanted to see camels, but no kangaroos, no emus, and I saw dingo tracks and camel tracks. But the only dingo I saw was at Dalhousie Springs, and that's a lot of people camp there, and obviously they come in looking for food scraps.
Yeah, look, you know, the thing is, I remember maybe a couple of months ago, my wife and I went up to Wilpena, but we hardly saw any wildlife at all. But when we went to Akalula last month, we saw heaps. We saw camels, we saw wild goats, we saw kangaroos, we saw euros, yellow-footed wallabies, we saw emus. We actually raced an emu on the road doing 20 k's an hour, and eagles. We saw plenty. So I suppose it's where the water is, isn't it?
I think where the water is. And, like, when we got to Mount Dare, the bird life there was spectacular. Like, they have a water hole, and they had a lot of water in the area back in March, April. They showed videos. Like, just when it floods up there, my God, it floods. And the roads become rivers because although they grade them, like, the sides of the road are about, like, a metre high. And so the water just – but anyway, they had a lot of bird life. And so, again – that was lovely there, but I didn't see a lot of other larger Australian animals on our trip at all.
Now, I know in the Sahara Desert in Africa they have motor cars and motorbike races. Do they have anything like that in the Simpson Desert?
Not racing as such. They have the Fink Desert Race, which, yep. And the Fink River, which is sort of up just over Northern Territory border and then comes through into SA up near Mount Dare. They have the Fink, and that was a that was probably less than a month ago, maybe a month ago. So a lot of people go up there for that. They have the buggies and the trucks and the motorbikes. They had the camel races up in Maree just after we'd left. So, but I'm not aware of any racing as such because it is a national park.
Okay.
So I don't think like you, as soon as you basically leave, not leave Burrsville, but you get to what's called Big Red, which is the biggest sand dune. And that's sort of the end of the trip for most people. And then you're on the road into Burrsville. So from there all the way through, you're in different national parks. And of course you have to get your passes to go in and travel in there.
Now, look, sometimes when you go interstate, you know, you go to Victoria, you might go to, you know, Ballarat to look for gold or Cooper, you know, down at Kalgoorlie in Western Australia. But here in South Australia, we have opal mining at Cooper Petty. Did you end up there?
We did end up there. We were driving to Mount Dare and the road, you've really got to respect outback tracks. I won't call it a road, but a track. And it was driver error because I hit a hole that I did not see in the road and broke a ball joint in my car. So we were stuck 20 Ks from Mount Dare with a broken ball joint, just sheared it off. And I wasn't even going fast. You just can't go fast on those tracks. But it was just a bit of bad luck and a bit of driver error. And so Sharon and I were actually stuck at Mount Dare for 4 days, four nights, wow, organizing a tow truck. And then we got towed from there down to Cooper Petey. So we had to spend a few days in Cooper Petey waiting to find out whether we'd get further tow or get repaired. We ended up getting a repair. But no, I didn't go looking for opal in Cooper Petey.
Did you at least sleep underground?
Well, everyone says underground. You are underground, but it's all in the side of hills, isn't it? So
yeah.
We stayed at this place that had been turned into a motel, and they actually talked about when they were expanding this motel, they did find a lot of opal. And so a lot of the opal that they found as they expanded and dug further and bigger to make the rooms bigger, et cetera, they found these opal there that helped them fund their building. So it's obviously a fair bit of opal up there. The underground stuff is really interesting, isn't it? Like the textures and colours is quite interesting.
And it's cool.
Yes. Well, it's not. It doesn't change.
No.
Like we'd been used to sleeping in a tent out in the desert and it was freezing cold, let me tell you. And all of a sudden we're in this motel room and it's like, hang on a minute, it's actually quite pleasant. It's not cold. It's not hot. It's just, it doesn't change.
No air conditioning.
No air conditioning and no phone coverage because it can't get underground.
Yeah, you've got to walk out and up a little bit to use your phone. But, and would you do it again?
Look, I loved it up there. Sharon also, like Sharon and I used to do a lot of camping when we were younger with the kids, and that's probably when I first really thought, I really want to do the Simpson. I had friends who did it. And so it's probably been 20 years in the making, but I do really love it up there. Some of the roads, oh my God, they are hard on the car. The poor car was battered and bruised on its return. So, yes, I would like to go back up there. There's lots of tracks through the Simpson and up around that way, Binns Track, the Madigan Line. There's all sorts of stuff that I really like to do at some point, but I'll wait and see how we go.
Well, you know, Everest had his mountain. I've run a marathon, and now, congratulations, you conquered the Simpson Desert.
Well, thank you, Rob. I appreciate that. I'm not sure. I'd rather do that than run a marathon, so we probably both did the right thing.
So, it's another Cut Unload Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
Sean Carlin.